You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Pride of Detroit PODcast is brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, and it's the jerky that fuels your Detroit Lions. Righteous Felon Jerky and meat sticks are available to Lions players at the training facilities at Allen Park, and each 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein, and each stick has 8 grams. Trust me, if it's good enough for the Lions and the PODcast, it's going to be good enough for you too. Righteous Felon is based in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and they use locally sourced, all-natural Black Angus beef, and they pride themselves on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors that go beyond the stereotypical jerky offering. For our listeners, we have a special offer for you. Go to RighteousFelon.com and use the promo code POD15 at checkout. Get you 15% off your order. That's POD15 at RighteousFelon.com. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, PrideToDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us live right now on Twitch.tv/PrideToDetroit and YouTube.com/@Pride of Detroit. We're going to jump right into it. Our plan this week is, because it is the new league year about to start here, we're in the tampering period. It's going to move things. You move really fast. So there's going to be a lot of smaller PODcasts through the week. So we're not going to waste any time here. This is going to be a quick hitter out here for what's happened here on Monday on 3/11 day. Get out the songs. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett on Twitter. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit on Lion. Ryan Matthews, the rock god at Ryan_POD. We have been the trio that for 9 years running have made POD cast sing for you. Jeremy, we have opened up the tampering period, which is really the official start of free agency. It's not, you know, we can say it's the lead up time, but all these contracts were go from the minute that Eric Schlitt, our favorite Eric Schlitt, decided to get up from his computer to go make food for the kids. Immediately, Brad Holmes, in his own way, cooked. And we had we had two or three deals here. We're going to get to all of them. We're going to start, though, with Carlton Davis in a trade, not a free agency, a trade from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jeremy, I think you have the terms for it right now. The Lions are getting back picks in Carlton Davis in exchange for one of their 2 third-round picks for this year.
Yeah, the second of their third round picks, which is a fairly significant difference. The Vikings pick is I think the 9th pick in the third round, whereas the Lions pick that they gave up is 29th. So literally a difference of 20 spots there. And then they also get a 2024 sixth round pick from the Buccaneers in return and a 2025 sixth round pick. So technically the Lions gained a draft pick in, if you want to sum it all together, but obviously, you know, they lose a top 100 pick. It's not an insignificant amount of trade, but I think if you kind of put all the draft picks together, it's essentially like trading a fourth or high fifth round pick together. And a fourth or a fifth essentially all together. And, you know, that's, I think, a less than what some people were expecting. If the Lions were to go after, obviously L'Jarius Sneed may have cost, I don't know, second round pick. There were some other guys out there that I think a lot of people were projecting about a third round pick. So in general, the Lions went a little cheaper than I think some people were expecting. But also, that's how the Lions operate this time of year. They don't make big swings, top end guys. I don't know how many times Brad Holmes has to say it before it sets in. But yeah, I think some of the rumors that came out of the NFL Combine may have raised expectations a little bit, with them being connected to the L'Jarius Sneed and Christian Wilkins. And then when those two things don't happen, people get a little underwhelmed by this move. But I think this move has some of the common pitfalls we've seen some of Brad Holmes's moves. But at the same time, there have been moves that he's made like this that have ended up paying out.
Let's talk about the man himself. Ryan, I think his cap hit is something about $14 million. They're getting him, obviously, this is the last year of his contract. It puts the Lions in a good position that if they want to re-sign him, they'll have the opportunity to do so coming out of there. But let's talk about the man himself. I know in two games against the Detroit Lions, he only allowed 26 yards. I believe as of last year, it was about like a 66 passer rating allowed through most of his games. I don't have the numbers on the top of my head. Didn't play the full season, has had a couple of injuries, but in general, I feel like he fits what the Lions do. He's a man cover kind of guy. He's opportunistic with takeaways and pass breakups, and that kind of fits what Aaron Glenn wants, in my mind at least. How do you view Carlton Davis as an addition to the Detroit Lions right now?
I think he immediately steps in and he's either you're starting number one or you're starting number two. It doesn't matter. He's immediately inserted into that role. As you mentioned, Chris, like a guy who seems like he might be a little bit more at home playing press man, even though, I mean, he made quite a living for himself playing a lot of zone in Tampa Bay. And I think this is something we talked about on the podcast last week, Jeremy, when we were doing the free agency preview. We had talked about, or I had mentioned, you know, it seems like this Lions defense is best when it can just create turnovers. And if it can create turnovers, even at the expense of maybe giving up a big play or two, it seems like getting the ball back to the offense is one of the best things that this defense can do, yeah, for this football team. And that's what Carlton Davis does. Like it's at least what he did. And I think maybe that is the cause for concern, or maybe some cause for pause for Lions fans is the injury history that, you know, Chris had mentioned. Missed five games last season, four games the year before that, and then missed seven games in 2021. It adds up. So there's a little bit of an injury history and a little bit of risk that I think you kind of alluded to, Jeremy. Like, it seems like Brad Holmes is like, injuries be damned. Like, these guys will pan out. And that kind of speaks to the other guy we're going to talk about here in a minute. But Carlton Davis, I think, Jeremy, it makes you feel really comfortable, I think, at least with where the starting, you know, players are on, yeah, the outside, right? But like, this doesn't take corner off the board at 29.
No, they feel kind of in a similar spot to where they were last year in that, like, they got three guys that are now capable of starting on the outside. They got Cam Sutton, they got Emmanuel Mosley, they got Carlton Davis, three guys that are capable. You're kind of rolling the dice on two of them with Mosley and Davis in terms of their injury history, but they're capable. And if you get a little bit lucky, both those guys are going to be there. But again, Davis is on the last year of his contract. Mosley is on a 1-year deal. Sutton is on the second of his 3-year deal, and he can get, and the Lions can get out of it long term. So yeah, I don't think this changes anything in terms of what the Lions could do in the draft. But with Davis himself, like, I get the upside. This guy was second in PBUs in back to back seasons, 2019 and 2020. I think it was 19 and 18 in those 2 years. He can get the ball in his hands. And I think, like you, I think he's better suited to man, and they didn't play a lot of man under Todd Bowles in Tampa. He's a physical guy. You're going to hate this, Lions fans, but he ran a 4.53, so he's not like your big speed athletic guy. But, you know, when these Lions players were getting out physical at the line, when they weren't able to play press man and send blitzes like they were like they did at the end of last season, they struggled. And it was Colton Pouncey pointed this out. There was a interview with Brian Branch and Aiden Hutchinson from the Super Bowl this year, and they were and Brian Branch revealed at some point Aaron Glenn was like, I need to get back to the basics. I need to get back to what we do, which is be physical, attack on the defense, and try to let the corners win. And that's what they did at the end of the year, but they didn't have the corners that could play really good press man. Now they do. And so I think that's what they're going to go back to, maybe push back on some of the zone stuff that they were doing early in 2023. And I think Davis is a good fit for that. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be a shutdown number one corner, but he's also 27 years old. Like, there's still room for him to grow in this game. I think he lands in Detroit in a better fit, and we'll see what the Lions do. My biggest issue with the signing really is the contract. You got 1 year and it's $14 million salary that you inherit. Now,
which, by the way, I think in the first 2 years of that contract, like the first year was $8 million, the second year was like 7.5. So this is almost those both those years combined what he's making right this year.
Right, it's a backloaded deal, like a lot of teams do. And so my question is, are the Lions going to adjust that? Are the Lions going to figure something out with that? Are they going to add voided years? Are they going to sign him to an extension? Are they going to convert some of that salary into a signing bonus, which I think they will? I feel like they kind of have to, because $14 million out of your salary cap in year one, right off the bat, like that almost cuts their spending money in half for everyone else. Now, I don't expect the Lions to go nuts for the rest of free agency, but that to me is like the trickiest part. And it's not ideal, but you can't just make that $14 million disappear necessarily. But if you spread it out over a couple of years, it suddenly feels a little bit better.
I agree with you. I think they will probably spread this out. Like, I don't think if you're investing a top 100 pick into this guy, I don't think it's just going to be for a rental. That doesn't seem to fit
right
their philosophy. So it seems like priority one is changing the contract to something a little more team friendly, probably a little more friendly for Davis as far as years as well. See how he likes playing here and just kind of go from there. Should we move on to the other signing? I think we should probably move on to the other signing of the day, the actual free agent signing that we had, Marcus Davenport, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings. I had it right the first time and I almost stepped over myself and went back to it. Formerly of the Saints. And that's important because he actually played there. He actually got drafted when Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell were with New Orleans at the time. So this is a bit of a reunion, a 1 year deal. I think the base is around like 6.5 million with incentives. You were getting up to about $10 million or so. Now, we talked already about how Brad Holmes likes the open box special. He does not mind about injury history. To him, and I kind of agree with that a little bit just because it's football. You're going to get hurt at some point. But I understand it is a concern for a lot of fans. Davenport is 27 years. He's been struggling to develop a little bit. He's been kind of coming on, but he spent a lot of last year hurt. I believe he only played
four games, I think.
So he spent a lot of 2023 hurt, but it is someone that the Lions are, at least from their coaching staff, familiar with. He's a pure pass rusher. He's not going to do you much in the run game and just continues to add to these edge rushers that the Lions are amassing that seem to go into this vast, massive rotation opposite Aiden Hutchinson right now that now includes Pascal and Kaminsky as well, Ryan. So we'll get into, I think, why. Where do you want to start with this, Ryan? Because I know reaction from the fans have been a little bit more mixed. I personally don't see the issue. It's not a premier player, but it is still a position where the Lions did need some more depth. And if you're not going to get a premier guy opposite Aiden Hutchinson, which you might not be able to, the best you can do is just see who's going to work out for you among a rotation or just specific pieces for specific roles.
Yeah, I think they have something here, I think, in Marcus Davenport. And this was a player that not only was highly drafted, pick 14 in the 2018 draft where the Lions got Ragnow at 20. The Saints moved up. They traded a first round pick to move up and get Marcus Davenport. And he was just kind of this, went to UTSA. Just
a monster
massive,
there.
Massive
road
man
runner.
Too. 6'6", 265. And the guy's best trait is his pass rushing ability, right? Like I don't think you normally get that from a guy who's, 6'6", 265, who it's like his run defense, take it or leave it. But like his ability to like get to the quarterback. I mean, here's the thing that I can appreciate about a deal like this is I've seen these things work with Brad Holmes. I've seen a year of Charles Harris where it's like, oh yeah, guy can play, right? Like I've seen free agency, just taking a risk on a guy. Josh Reynolds, I'll pick him up off the waiver wire. That worked out. Like there's no, I know, Jeremy, people freaked out about the number. People freaked out about the $10.5 million that he could make up to, right? And if Marcus Davenport earns $10.5 million this year, the Lions defense is top 10.
Right.
They've got his money's they've got their money's worth if they if he hits 10.
Legitimately, and the thing that reassures me about this move, Jeremy, is that you get Davenport, who it's not like you're taking a risk on a Josh Pascal, right? A guy who has college tape.
Yeah.
Marcus Davenport played really freaking well in New Orleans. Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, put whatever stock you want into PFF grades. And I don't always, you know, take huge, you know, I don't have a huge belief in him, but in the 2021 season where he had 42 pressures, had an 88.8 defensive grade, like pass rush grade of 82. Like he's, again, this is why I like the deal. He has NFL tape that proves that he belongs in this league. And Jeremy, what deal did he get last year from Minnesota?
Oh, it was like huge.
Yeah, it was like
12 and a half.
Yeah, it was even higher than this. Yeah, like double this on a prove it deal last year. What happened? He gets injured with the ankle, only plays four games. So he didn't prove it.
Didn't prove it. So
now
he
gets another chance. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I listen. On Pride of Detroit Director, our premium newsletter, I quote unquote signed him to a 1 year, $7 million deal. So I don't feel bad about this at all. I do think at his best, Marcus Davenport is a potential double digit sack guy. Now, he hasn't ever gotten there in his career and he has struggled with injuries and all those are legit complaints. Last year was his worst year, but he was in a new system on a new team. And yes, but now he comes back to a defensive coordinator he's familiar with, a culture he's familiar with. That sort of stuff matters. Like, how many times during all these free agency previews did we say part of the reason the Lions are so conservative in free agency is they don't know if these guys are going to be a culture fit. They don't know if these guys are going to be Detroit Lions. Well, you take a guy like Marcus Davenport, there's no question that he's going to fit what the Lions want out of him. And I agree with you guys. Like, he brings a little bit more pass rush than some of the edge guys that they currently have opposite Aiden, but he's big. And I think actually he provides a little bit more in run defense than both of you are saying. Like, I think he's a very well-rounded player. Not an explosive guy. You know, he's not, but that being said, like, if you want to go back and look at his RAS, it's pretty darn good. He's got a lot of good athletics.
It was like a 9.93 or so. Yeah. I think it was very high. I think go on.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think this is a guy with an extremely high ceiling. And again, a 27-year-old to be 28 technically when the season starts. So you got youth, you got, you know, a cheap 1 year deal, $6.5 million for 1 year is not bad at all. And who knows, the Lions might add a void year on top of that. And it'll be like a $3 million cap hit. You know, it's not a bank breaker. It's, And to me, like, it's just like low cost, high upside. I'm totally in for deals like that. And this is what we need to get accustomed to these kind of deals. Like, this is what the Lions have. They did it with Alex Anzalone. They did it with Charles Harris. They did it with all these guys that, you know, they kind of like went 50-50 on. Sometimes it really worked out and then they get to sign a big deal the next year. Sometimes it doesn't. And you're left with a, you know, one of the
Rashad Perriman,
CJ Gardner-Johnson is a great example because it was almost the exact same price. Now, Gardner-Johnson had a little bit more of a proven, you know, career in the NFL.
Track record. Yeah. But like, also, how many games did Davenport play last year? So, like, I mean, they're almost akin to one another, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah. So I don't know. I think people are freaking out a little bit too much about the cost, but it's fair to look at both these signings and be like, okay, all right, when is Brad Holmes just going to sign a dude and not go down this injury history thing where you're worried about an Emmanuel, like Emmanuel Mosley is another example where it didn't work out. So, you know, again, it's like a 50-50 hit rate with these guys. So maybe one of these is going to work out. One of these won't. You kind of hope that you hit more on Carlton Davis because you spent both money and draft capital on it. But I don't know. I'm not feeling amazing and I'm not feeling terrible.
On the other hand, I get that on the injury side, but I do also think both these have the commonality still of what we've kind of discovered about the Detroit Lions, how they want to run their defense last year, because Marcus Davenport does fit what they want to do. They want to pressure the quarterback, make them make a mistake, and they want someone like Carlton Davis in the backfield to clean up that mistake when it happens. Like it shows at least the identity, the philosophy, and what they want to do more than anything. However, I also think they're coming here for the righteous felon Kraft jerky. That's right, Carlton Davis. If you're listening, Marcus Davenport, you're listening right now. Hi, high. But also, we should let you know about the jerky that fuels your Detroit Lions. Righteous Felon Craft Jerky sponsors this podcast. Righteous Felon Jerky and meat sticks are available to Lions players at the training facilities at Allen Park. Each 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein. Each stick has 8 grams. Trust me, if it's good enough for the Lions, it's going to be good enough for you too. Righteous Felon is based in Westchester, Pennsylvania, using locally sourced all-natural Black Angus beef, priding themselves on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors, such as my favorite, the Korean barbecue-inspired Soul Survivor. And the Habanero Escobar, a little more of a typical one, but still incredibly good. We're going to give you a promo code here. We're going fast because we've got a lot to do. POD15 at checkout. Use that at righteousfelon.com. You get 15% off your order, any order, no matter how big. You support us. You support Righteous Felon. You get meat for yourself. What's not to love? So you use the promo code POD15 at checkout at righteousfelon.com. We come back in the Pride of Detroit POD cast. Time to talk guards. Lions re-sign one, lose one. Question is, how much more of a need do they really have right now? And where do the Lions go from after day one in the tampering period, not start a free agency, actually the start of free agency? We'll discuss that next on the Pride of Detroit POD cast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Pride of Detroit POD cast. Now it's time to talk guards here in the tampering period episode. The Lions ended up bringing Graham Glasgow back. I actually don't have the numbers up in front of me, Jeremy, on the deal.
I got you.
Oh, thank you.
Three years, $20 million. And I don't have the guaranteed money because I am rate limited on Twitter.
Really?
Was it 9.5?
9.5 sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that sounds about right. I don't know. Check Pride of Detroit.
Either way, it's great to have the streamer in command back here. We love Graham. He's been on our podcast a few times. Very happy to see it. Ryan, Jeremy, I think if the Lions were going to have one of the two guys, and we'll talk about the other one in a second, I think we had been arguing towards Graham because Graham does have the ability to play center. He proved himself last year that he had a very, very good potential with playing guard. He had good synergy with the rest of the line. He was asked to do a lot of different positions and to pitch in all over the place. I think he's proven more than enough that he deserves this new deal, and he's going to get 3 years on this as well, which is very good.
No, it's exciting. It was a great way to start the day. I think all of us kind of saw both this and the Jonah moves coming in general. Graham wanted to be back. Graham was happy to be here. Graham earned his deal by being the 8th best guard in the NFL last year, according to PFF grade. And I mean, he's a culture fit. He's a fit in terms of what they like to do. He's a better run blocker than pass protector, but he can do both pretty well. And like you said, he's an extremely versatile guy. And I think a lot, you know, all offseason, we were kind of trying to project what it would cost for Graham Glasgow. And I think we all kind of landed in somewhere between $6 and $7 million. And what do you know, 3 years, $20 million, right in that range. I think the third year is a little bit surprising. I think a lot of us were thinking like 2 year, $13 million, something like that. But I'll take a potential third year, and we haven't seen the full breakdown of what the contract looks like. I think it's probably safe to say that third year is essentially an option where the Lions can choose to keep him or not, which is exactly what you want for a 31-year-old. You get 2 good years out of him, and then you see if you want a third out of him. So a no-brainer deal. And then, Ryan, I think to me the most exciting part about re-signing Graham today, especially early in the day, was watching the guard market play out and just seeing these guys get $16 million, $17 million, $20 million. And you're just sitting on your hands being like, all right, we got like a starting level, potential top 10 level guard for the next 3 years at, you know, 6.75 or whatever it is a year. Like, that's a pretty comfortable feeling.
Oh, yeah, man, sign me up. Like, I think actually the Graham re-signing, even for as predictable as it was, and it seemed like it was just going to be a sure thing, having that, like, as a setup for the rest of the day where there was relatively little activity, right? And Lions Twitter was kind of losing their minds in the sense of, like, oh, the Lions, are they ever going to do anything? Are they gonna... And then, like, I think the thought in my head was, the Lions are set right now because they got ahead of the guard market. They got Graham Glasgow back in place. And guess what? They were able to watch in real time, starting back with the Dotson deal. Like, guys, we got to, and I know it's the Carolina Panthers, but Robert Hunt getting $100 million over 5 years is lunacy. Like, it's insane to me. And even the deal that Jonah got, and we're going to get to that in a second. I just want to mention real quick about Graham and like probably one of the better stories, right? Again, like a guy who I know Dan Campbell usually picks out like the day one guys, right? And it's Decker who usually gets a lot of that shine, and it was Tracy Walker and like Grant. I mean, 2016, like the beginning of the, you know, Quinn Trisha era, Graham gets drafted and he's staying here in Detroit, and it's awesome because I feel, Jeremy, like there's a little bit of a hometown discount kind of baked into this, right? Like it feels like Graham likes playing here. Why would he go anywhere else? He's at home. You know what I mean? Like it, and usually I'm so against like hometown discounts and this, that, the other thing, but like this just feels like the best marriage that could have happened at guard for the Lions.
And I mean, when the guy is like, I really wanted to come to Detroit because I wanted to play with some buds. Like, yeah, that's when you're going to get the hometown discount. Yeah. When his main motivation is just to hang out with some of his old buddies.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a massive culture fit. I think this was great for the Lions. You mentioned the money flying around the O-line positions right now, Ryan. And that means we do have to say farewell to Jonah Jackson. Again, I think we've all been hinting towards it. We wondered if the Lions would be able to keep Jackson. Well, Jonah Jackson's price tag was $51 million for 3 years, $34 million of it guaranteed with the Los Angeles Rams. It's a huge pickup for the Rams, but I guess the question is Ryan, I've got two questions, and I'll get to the second one in a second. The first one is, damn on the money. Like, I don't think the Lions could have probably, would you have been okay if the Lions had spent similar money like that on Jonah Jackson?
Probably not. I mean, $17 million is definitely the high end of what I expected him to get. Mm-hmm. But yeah, around what I expected. I know, I can't remember. Was it Dotson who got $16 million a year? And people were like, oh, there's no way Jonah gets that. And I'm like, wait and see. I was a little, but like, the 3 years to me makes it a little bit more palatable instead of a 4 year deal. And again, with only about half of that guaranteed, there's a chance that third year you're able to get out from underneath it. And so then you're talking about Jonah Jackson, a 2 year, like $34, $35, $36 million deal. Maybe, but I don't know. I've been going back and forth on Jonah all offseason because I do think he's a better player than Lions fans are giving him credit for. I also think he's not as injured as Lions fans seem to think. But that's a lot of money. And the Lions, at some point, they're going to need to try to get younger and cheaper on the offensive line. And they can't continue to plug in, you know, top market deals for everyone on that offensive line, right? Like, Decker is currently among the highest paid left tackles. So, I mean, Frank Ragnow is amongst the highest paid centers. Your right tackle is about to be amongst the highest paid right tackles. And so eventually the Lions have had to make a decision where they were going to take a little bit of a hit and then try to get younger. Because I think we all agree guard is very, very much on the table for the NFL draft. The question is, and I think this is going to be your second part of your question, is like, what do the Lions do before then about left guard? And that's a very important question to me because I say it all the time. You do not want to go into the NFL draft having to draft a position, having to draft a starter. And the Lions aren't going to do that. They're going to sign a starting capable guard at some point in the next month. It might not be a huge deal. It might not be more than a 1 year patchwork deal, but they're going to get someone capable in there because I don't think Colby Sorosdol is ready. I don't think Kaori Aoshika is a guy that they want to be potentially starting on day one of the 2024 season. So I don't know. It's a mixed feeling. I'm happy for Jonah to you know, be getting the bag, and you can see a couple of Lions offensive linemen have already tweeted that they're really happy for him and think he deserves it. And so, you know, it's a hit to the Lions roster, and I'm very curious as to how the Lions are going to fix it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think I came to terms with Jonah moving on like months ago.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been headed in that direction.
It has been headed in that direction. I think one thing that's interesting though is the Rams got an up close and personal seat to a wild card loss, and they saw like what two really good guards could do. So sure. They locked up Dotson and they got the guy who kicked their ass in the wild card round. So seems like they have a little bit of, you know, Dan Campbell sway to their team. But I'm with you, Jeremy. Like the Lions, you know, now that Brad Holmes in a place where he's starting to try to cultivate depth a little bit with this roster because a lot of the starting positions are filled. The ones that are left over aren't going to be ones that they walk into the draft with. And I think that's the next thing I think we got to talk about, right? Like we want to talk a little bit about what we are hoping the Lions can get done on day two of the tampering period.
Let me ask the question again to you, because I guess the question is, will they be happy with a guard in free agency, or will it be in the draft? Will they look more long-term in the draft with someone like a Christian Haynes?
Again, Jeremy, I think it's a lot like what they did with Carlton Davis. Like they got a starter in him, but that doesn't deter them from
investing. Doesn't take CB off the board, yeah.
It doesn't take maybe even two cornerback draft picks off the board. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions drafted two cornerbacks. I also, though, like the Lions did with cornerback, they went out and got Carlton Davis. I expect them to go get a guy to plug that spot, and you feel comfortable with it in training camp. Why not Laken Tomlinson? I'm going to throw that out as a potential replacement. I mean, former guy, I mean, solid, a little bit decline in play, but like, do you want to break the bank, right? Like, do you want to spend big on a guard on a 1-year deal? Maybe, but if you think that you can get a starter in here, maybe in the third round, or maybe you draft a guy higher than that. I mean, you have a contingency plan in place, and we talk about him all the time with this team, and that's how Brad Holmes really, you know, that's how he gets business done. So I think there are a couple interesting names out there. I know Zeitler didn't sign with anybody yet.
Yep.
I know, trying to think, Isaiah Wynn. I know he's still out there. John Simpson is another guy who people talked about and you talked about, Jeremy. But I think they ultimately, I don't know, do they go veteran 1-year guy, or do they go, hey, fringe can make an NFL roster guy?
Yeah, in an ideal world, I think it's a veteran dude, whether it is Tomlinson, Zeitler. Zeitler is kind of my ideal scenario. I still don't know if the Ravens are going to let him go, but especially coming off somehow his first Pro Bowl at 33 years old, and he's going to be 34 going this year. But like, you sign him to like a 1-year, $8 million deal, throw a void year on there. So again, it's only like a $4 or $5 million hit. That to me is extremely palatable. I don't know if they can get it done, but that to me makes a ton of sense. Is just do the patchwork job. If the guard that you like is there when you're ready, go for it. Because the one thing now that maybe we aren't comfortable talking about is there's been a lot of talk about the Lions going up and getting their favorite guard in the draft. You just lost some ammunition to do that by losing your second, third round pick. So you probably have to spend another one of your three top 100 picks to do that. Are you willing to do that to a point where you'd only have two top 100 picks and then you're waiting all the way into the fifth round to pick again?
That doesn't seem like something Brad Holmes would do, who's never traded up in the draft before.
He's never got excited and decided to just leap at someone that he's like really excited to get. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It almost seems like an interesting situation from the standpoint of if a guy comes in here who's a veteran, like, does he recognize that, like, hey, like a guy could get drafted and he could potentially beat me out, right? Like, I mean, you kind of more so think about this when you're talking about like backup quarterbacks, right? Like you get to the end of free agency and it's like, okay, like who are the teams that are probably going to draft a young guy? And like, where's a place I can go where I can like truly be a backup and maybe be a guy who gets a chance to step in? Like that almost kind of seems like the guard conundrum with Detroit now. Like Jonah's out. I don't think that there's anybody who feels totally comfortable with Sorsdahl or Iwashika starting. So it almost seems like they have to do something before they go into the draft with their pants down.
Yeah. Well, I think we will wait and see. We've got plenty more to come here during the week. It is a floating week. We're going to be jumping. I don't know how many more times we'll jump on this week. Me, Jeremy, or Ryan will be in
as
and
needed.
Out. As needed. I know Morgan's been getting some reps, and thank you, Morgan, getting in while I was sick. And then I know next week, Jeremy, you're off for a little bit. So for the most of free agency, we're going to be touch and go here on PODcast, which is why you should be subscribed on Spotify, on iTunes, or wherever you get podcasts. It is a liberated form, and it means that whatever podcast platform you like, you can find us on there. Platform free and out in the world. All right, we're getting out of here for now. For myself, I'm Chris Perfett. For Jeremy Reisman, for Ryan Matthews, we'll see you Starside. The Pride of Detroit PODcast is brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, and it's the jerky that fuels your Detroit Lions. Righteous Felon jerky and meat sticks are available to Lions players at the training facilities at Allen Park, and each 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein, and each stick has 8 grams. Trust me, if it's good enough for the Lions and the POD cast, it's going to be good enough for you too. Righteous Felon is based in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and they use locally sourced, all-natural Black Angus beef, and they pride themselves on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors that go beyond the stereotypical jerky offering. For our listeners, we have a special offer for you. Go to RighteousFelon.com and use the promo code POD15 at checkout. Get you 15% off your order. That's POD15 at RighteousFelon.com.